And November is National Long-Term Care Awareness Month, but we know many of you are painfully aware that taking care of an older relative can be both a privilege and extremely trying. According to a new study out from the AP and the National Opinion Research Center, caring for a loved one is the equivalent of a full-time job for a quarter of informal caregivers, two-thirds of whom are women, many of whom are cutting back on paid jobs or dipping into their own retirement funds to do it. So question, should there be a new compensation model for them? Jill Schlesinger, a business analyst with CBS News and host of Jill on Money and the podcast Better Off, is here. Jill, some might be surprised to learn that Medicare, for those over 65, doesn't cover many of these costs. And in order for seniors to be on Medicaid, health care for the poor, that often covers more long-term care, you have to spend down a loved one's assets so they qualify.
Yeah, and this is state specific. So you really have to have your research hat on and look at the guidelines for your specific state. But generally speaking, for an individual, say it's maybe having savings of a couple of $1,000s and maintaining a home. Maybe the home is worth anywhere between $500,000 and $800,000 or $850,000, again, depending on your state. But the problem is that there are a lot of people out there who are gifting willy-nilly money out of their names to try to qualify for Medicaid, not realizing that there is a 5-year look back period that the states are able to do. And it's a little bit dangerous to do this because sometimes when you are gifting money, you're also gifting some pretty significant tax consequences. So you should be doing this with a very specific reason in mind, and you should be doing it with a professional.
Well, meanwhile, a lot of people are trying to figure out ways to compensate, especially moms who are maybe, you know, missing work or spending money out of their own pockets to take care of these elderly loved ones. Some people talk about a universal basic income. But meanwhile, how can they do this more through their workplace?
It's really interesting because backup elder care is becoming a benefit that some organizations are considering for their employees. And it comes in two primary forms: dependent care assistance plans, and that deducts a certain portion of your paycheck before taxes to pay for elder care costs, much in the way that you would do that for your child care expenses. And right now, about 40% of employers are offering that benefit. And then a smaller fraction are also offering something that I think is going to become more popular called respite care. This is a benefit that offers short-term care to family members when this employee needs to take a rest or take time off or go into work. So you should be checking with that in addition to flexible work options, care subsidies. Some are buying group plans to help you with senior caregiving expenses, and support groups, because boy, what we now know is that there is very little care for the caregivers themselves, and they need to recharge their batteries.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And just one thing I want to note from my own personal experience, it's great that this is happening through different workplaces, but the people who get the least help with this are the people who are the home health aides, the people who maybe have blue-collar jobs, who don't have access to those kinds of benefits. So it's worth keeping that in mind as well. Jill Schlesinger, business analyst with CBS News, host of Jill on Money. Her podcast is Better Off. Jill, thank you.
Thank you.